couldn't imagine carrying this around downtown, could you, Bob? Yeah, you. I said, could you imagine carrying this pulpit around with you downtown trying to preach from it? Open your Bibles to Acts in chapter 16. Janice and I are glad to be back. Nice warm Texas. We had a week of below zero just before we came. Minus 20 at times. Preaching that weather is always fun. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. I'd like to read from that verse. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we have your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name. And Lord, our prayer and the desire is to glorify you. I pray that you would bless every hearer today. Lord, I pray you bless me and Brother Bob as he'll be preaching. Pray you'd fill us with your spirit that the people might see Christ in us. Lord, we might hear your word and be obedient to it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sort of take up the story of Paul and Silas in the middle. How did they get to this place? What happened? Paul was known as Saul before he became Paul, and he was not for the gospel. In fact, he was against it. But one day on the road to Damascus, God got a hold of him, and he got saved. And so we're gathered here years after this, 2,000 years after this experience of Paul and Silas. We're gathered here to have a missions conference. We're gathered here as believers in order to encourage you and to encourage the body of believers here to think about those that need help. To think about this call from around the world where people near need to hear the gospel. But what is the gospel? And what is it that is so urgent that we would gather here and take offerings and encourage people to invest and spend so much money and so much time and so much effort to go around the world to preach the gospel? Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. I'm thankful for good news. There's so much bad news. You turn on the TV and you hear bad news. You listen to the radio, you hear bad news. The gospel is good news, and I don't know about you, we heard about the mentality that we have to have, but when I first heard the gospel, it was good news to me. You see, I was lost. I had no idea how I was going to go to heaven. I knew there was a heaven, I knew there was a God, and I knew there was a hell. And from what I'd been told, good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, I knew I was in trouble. Because I knew that I wasn't good. My mother thought I was good. I deceived her pretty good. My dad kind of thought I was pretty good, but I knew better. The police didn't have a rap sheet on me. They hadn't caught me. But I knew. And I knew that if good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, then I'm in big trouble because I'm not a good person. The little contact that I did have with religion, I was taught that you had to keep the Ten Commandments. My first observation of the Ten Commandments, I thought, I'm in really big trouble now. I've already broke 50%. How are you starting? And so what is the good news? Good news is not having a religion. Good news is that God, despite us being rebellious against Him, loved us. God, despite of our sin and our wickedness and our rebellion against His holy commandments, decided to give His Son on the cross so that we might live. The gospel that we preach is called the grace of God. We preach the grace of God. God is willing to forgive sinners. That's good news. Now, I didn't have a whole lot of contact with religion. My family was not religious. But I did have friends, I did have neighbors, I did have some contact. I didn't know much about the Bible. I had no idea what the gospel was. But I distinctly remember 35 years ago, going to some place where I should not have been going, at a time I should not have been on the street, thinking, what is the meaning of life? I have no idea. And I told my friends, I said, you go on, I'm done. And I sat under a tree. I don't remember praying. I don't think I prayed. But I just sat and I thought, if this is life, then what in the world am I doing? But I didn't have an answer. You see, I was lost. Completely lost. Jesus said that if you don't know where you're going, you're in the dark. And I was in the dark. But right after that, I got a job. After looking for a job all summer long, I got a job at Hardee's Hamburgers. Flippin' burgers. Hardee's Hamburgers. And there was a young lady there that was a Christian. And by the grace of God, she took an opportunity to open up the Bible to me and explain the gospel to me. She asked me, are you saved? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Would you like to be saved? I think I would. And she showed me from the Bible that Christ Jesus died on a cross for sinners. Religion makes us think that Christ died for good people. That Christ died for saints. That Christ died for the righteous. But the Bible teaches that He died for sinners. And that's good news if you're a sinner. If you're righteous, you don't need a Savior. If you're good, you don't need a Savior. You don't need forgiveness. So if that's your case, then I'm wasting your time. But if you're a sinner, then we got good news to tell you. And that's what we're preaching. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. One day, he heard the gospel right out of the mouth of Jesus. And he got saved. And ever since that time, he had the mentality, as one of the brothers preached. He had the desire, there was something in him that said, I've got to go and preach the gospel. No matter what the obstacle. And here we find him on another road, traveling. And the Bible says that he is saved, they wanted to go into Asia, but was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. And he essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Here's a man with his partner Silas that wants to get the gospel into another city, into another region. That glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to his trust. He wanted to carry it to regions beyond. Paul said in Romans in chapter 1, one of my favorite sections of the book of Romans, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's so much in that fragment. I am ready to preach the gospel. Something happened in my life when I heard the gospel. When I found out that I, as a sinner, could be saved. Saved from hell and guaranteed entrance into heaven. That changed my life. They gave me peace that I cannot explain to people that never heard the gospel. They don't understand it. They want it. They pant after it. They desire it. But trying to explain it is like trying to explain a rainbow to a blind man. The colors of the rainbow. Something happened in my life, and when I found out I could go to heaven and that Christ died for me, I wanted everybody to know. Because I was lost. I had no idea. And when I found out, I said, wow, there's an answer. I found the answer. It's in the Bible. It's God's Word. I have the answer. And I wanted people to know. Paul wanted the people to know. And he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm a debtor. You know, I had something in me, something happened to me, and I went immediately to my parents, and I wanted to tell them about the Lord. They weren't interested. I couldn't. That was shocking for me. I thought for sure, you know, when you find the answer, they'd want to hear. They weren't interested. Went to my friends, I thought, sure, they're going to really enjoy this news I got for them. They weren't interested. Went to school, told my classmates. They weren't interested either. Every opportunity I had, I wanted to tell people that Jesus saved me. Why? Because that's good news. It was shocking for me in the beginning that people weren't interested in this, but I was interested. I was thankful. I found the peace of God. I found the joy of God. Maybe this is just religion for you, but God saved me, and I was happy about it. And so since that time, I've been on a mission. I've been looking for sinners that are lost, that are looking for the way. Because I know the way now. His name's Jesus. I think that's what happened to Paul. 2,000 years before I ever heard the gospel. He got excited about telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was completely against Christ at one time. His story is just a little bit different. He was anti-Christ. I mean, he was against Christ. Then he found Christ and he became for Christ. Whereas my experience was, I didn't know Christ. Didn't know him. But when I met him, found out he was a pretty good guy. And I wanted people to know. Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so, later on, I had opportunity to tell people about Christ. You know what? Some of them got saved. Some people in this room are saved because I gave them the gospel. They're my children in the faith. And some of these in this room have had children, so now I'm a grandfather. That's a blessing. But at the same time, I've talked to people and they're Christians. At least they say they are. But they have no interest in giving the gospel out. That is boggling to my mind. I don't understand that. That's not my experience. My experience is when I heard the gospel, when I heard the good news, I wanted other people to know about it. And so when I met Christians, and when I, right after I got saved, the young lady that told me about Christ and told me about the gospel, she went to a Christian school. And she said I had to go to a Christian school. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I thought that was right out of the Bible, so I went to a Christian school. You would believe it, but I had long hair back then. And I went to that Christian school in my tennis shoes, blue jeans, and t-shirt, and they said, we don't allow tennis shoes, t-shirts, or blue jeans. I said, well, what am I going to wear? They said, by the way, you have to get your hair cut. I had to tell that barber to cut my hair 4 times. He cut a little bit, and I said, I don't think that's short enough. I think that, and he cut it again. I said, you know, sir, I don't think that's short enough. I don't know, but he said, what is your problem? I said, I'm supposed to be going to this Christian school, and they said I had to have short hair. Yeah, I'll fix that. But I went to a Christian school, and I was surrounded by Christians. And they weren't interested in serving Christ. And when it was time to sing, they were now, I got kicked out of a choir when I was 8 years old, so I've never been very good at singing. But I was more than willing to shout along with everybody else. But they weren't shouting. And it came opportunity to, we had in the Christian school, the boys were supposed to preach. And boy, everybody was trying to figure out ways not to do that. I thought, well, I'd like to do that. So I don't understand people that aren't interested in getting the gospel out. And frankly, I don't think Paul would understand that type of person. That's not interested in getting the gospel out. I think Paul and myself would both agree that we understand that not everybody is going to be an apostle and not everyone is going to be a preacher. But the idea of not getting the gospel out, that's beyond me. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He said in Romans in chapter 9, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. He prefaced his statement with this. Makes you wonder about people say, I'm going to tell the truth now. He says, I lie not. And in this case, it's because what you're going to hear is shocking. What you're going to hear out of the mouth of Paul, people would think, there's no way this is true. So he prefaces, he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I lie not. Listen to what he says. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Brother Stephen, how's that for the mentality? The gospel mentality. Being willing to be accursed from Christ so that somebody else might know Christ. I wonder if perhaps that's why Paul was so effective. And we are so ineffective so many times. Because of that mentality. Don't you know that when Paul preached to people that the people that listened to him understood that this guy's concerned about me? This guy's not banging on my door just to condemn me. He's willing to be condemned himself so that I might live. Don't you think that has an effect on people? You see, when I got saved, I didn't want to just knock on doors. Now, I went to a church where they knocked on doors and they were interested in getting numbers. And so they were interested in getting people to say a prayer. So I was a young believer and I thought, well, if this is what we're supposed to do, then I didn't do that when I got saved. I didn't repeat a prayer. When I got saved, I went home and I was told, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I went home that night and I confessed my sins to God and God saved me. I didn't see any angels. The earth did not shake. I didn't speak in tongues. Didn't see any light from heaven. But when I got off my knees, I had the peace of God. And I knew that God heard my prayer and saved my soul. I can remember coming down here to San Antonio, Texas, via the Air Force. We had a ministry, and we're preaching. And wow, man, I was seeing how many people want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand. We'd get 100 converts a night. 100%. And then I'd go out knocking on doors and nobody even opened the door. And that was really troubling for me. I thought, so when I'm on the base, the Spirit of God is on me. And then when I'm off the base, the Spirit of God departs me. I don't know what's going on with this. So I decided to test myself. After I had 100 converts again out there showing films at Lackland Air Force Base, I decided to ask those that had so supposedly said this prayer what they had to do to get to heaven. And you would not believe the answers. All over the map. All sorts of answers. You got to get baptized. You got to confess to a priest. You got to be good. You got to keep the commandments. You got to do this. And not one of them said, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. You see, when I began telling people about Christ, I was interested in them really finding Christ. I think Paul and I think Christ is interested in genuine converts. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where are we going to go? All the world. I had a police officer ask me one time, what in the world are you doing? In Poland, Warsaw, Poland. What are you doing on the street? I said, I'm preaching the gospel. He said, you got permission to do that? I said, yeah, I got permission to do that. He walks off and he comes back and he said, is that permission written? I said, of course it's written. He said, well, I'm glad to hear that. Can I see that written permission? I said, well, now it's my turn to ask some questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He said, well, yes, sir, I sure do. I said, I'm glad to hear that. Do you believe the King has authority? He said, yeah. I said, all right. Now here's the written permission. I handed them my Bible and showed them Mark. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Last time I looked, Warsaw's in the world. He said, thank you, goodbye. You see, we do have permission to preach the gospel. And all of us are different if we're believers here this evening. And I hope you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you can become a believer. Puedes creer, hermano. That's why the gospel is so wonderful. You see, if you had to do something, you had to keep the commandments, then you couldn't be saved tonight. If you had to be baptized, well, maybe you could today, but I mean, it's a little bit cold out there. You might not like it. If there was something that you had to do, maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. But the worst sinner, even one hanging on the cross next to Jesus, that's got nowhere to go and nothing that he can do. He's nailed to a cross. The worst type of sinner, in the worst type of situation, he can call out to God and be saved. So maybe it's all religion to you, but if you're lost here tonight and you're a sinner, Christ can save you. I know, in my experience of 35 years of preaching the gospel, I've met religious people. And I've met Christians, in quote, that go to church, maybe even been baptized, but there's something wrong with them. They're defective. You know what I'm talking about? There's something, I mean, their Christianity is not real. It's Sunday Christianity. They dress up for Sunday and that's their Christianity. That's not what this is about. Here's Paul and Silas. They're trying to go into another region to preach the gospel. Jesus said after the resurrection, he appeared on the apostles and he said in Acts in chapter 1, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and on the othermost part of the world, of the earth. Where can we preach the gospel? Everywhere. Everywhere. Paul said to preach, he desired to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. He wasn't satisfied with those that he told. He wanted to go and tell some more. Jesus, in one of his parables, he said that they went out invite people to come. The servants came back, and he said, "There's still room." He said, "Go back out there, where? Out in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in." So where can we preach the gospel? We can preach it everywhere. We can preach it in San Antonio. We can preach it in Honda. We can preach it in Burning. We can preach it in Mexico. We can preach it in Poland. We can preach the gospel anywhere. I think that's just straightforward, simple Bible. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why this fragment here was startling to me. You see, from my own experience, and then reading about what Paul said, and then to find Paul here, desiring to go where? Into Asia, which would be Western Turkey in Bible times. He wants to go into Asia, and what does the Bible say? And we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Is that shocking to you? It was to me. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it says, he's forbidden. So then the next verse it says, he essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Isn't that shocking to you? No, serious. Is that shocking to you? That's really shocking to me. I mean, Christ came to save sinners, right? He died on the cross for sinners. He left the glories of heaven and came down to save sinners. He told the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here's Paul and Silas trying to fulfill that mission, and they want to go into Asia, and God says, no, you ain't going there. And he said, all right, if I can't go there, then I'll go over here. He said, no, you're not going there either. Baffling. And Paul goes home and he has a vision. Look what it says in verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There's a verse in the Scripture that says, quench not the Spirit. There is something about the maturity of growing in Christ. There are verses that are very simple and plain that even children can understand. But then there comes a maturity where you begin to listen to the voice of God. Do you remember, wasn't it Elijah that was hiding in a cave? And then there was a great earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and God was not in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. What doest thou here, Elijah? What does it mean, quench not the Spirit? Brother Robert gave a very good message the other night talking about a very sad portion of his life, about his mother dying, desiring to talk one more time to his mother. Don't you think that's the moving of the Spirit? And then the quenching of the Spirit. I think every believer understands that experience that Brother Bob had. You know, I think we've all been there before. You knew there was something in you that speak to that person right there. Not over there. Not there. Right there. Speak to that one. Right there. Then what are you going to do? Now you know this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. You know it. Maybe nobody else. Maybe you can't convince anybody else. But you know, this is where I got to be. Sister Nelta stood up and said, God called us to Mexico. She knew. Now maybe you're not convinced, but she and Dale knew. You don't read anywhere in the Bible that says God called Nelta and Dale to Mexico. You don't find that in the Bible. But they found it in their heart. Now, you may believe Paul's vision or not. I mean, when people start talking about visions, I don't know about that. I'm thinking, you know, too much pizza. But Paul was assured. This was from God. How do you know that God called me to Poland? I don't know if you know, but I know. Is something in you. Like Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And you're going to need that type of thing because when you get to Poland and find out it's cold over there, and you find out that they're not all excited about hearing what you've got to say, and you find out that their language, well, it takes you about 15 years and you still got another 15 to go. Because Paul is assured here. And it doesn't say that Silas got the vision. But he heard Paul had the vision and he took Paul's word on it. And so Paul and Silas go all the way to Philippi to preach the gospel, and they had some success at the beginning. But then they find themselves in jail. Then what? Then what? I don't know if you recall Brother Mike Volsky. Do you recall him? He came to Poland. His first week in Poland, he sat in jail with us. How's that first start off? Yeah. God called me to Poland. Comes to Poland. First week in jail. First week he's there. There he's in jail. I guess I could read a lot of scriptures where it says the Holy Ghost said to so-and-so. Yeah, the Holy Ghost spoke to so-and-so. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto he has called them. So they're being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Departed. Peter said, and the Spirit bade me go with them. Philip, we have this testimony of Philip, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go forward toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. So the Spirit does lead people. And He does lead us, if we're listening. Are you listening? I think it's the will of God for every believer to spread the gospel. I don't think it's the will of God for every believer to stand on the street and preach like we preach. I think there are different gifts that God gives to people. But I think it is the will of God for every believer to give the gospel to the people in their contact or influence, or their world, we could say. And like I said, to me it's very shocking when I meet believers that are not interested in getting the gospel to other people. That to me, I don't understand. Do you? I can understand people being afraid and facing fears. Yeah, I face fears all the time. I still face fears. I mean, standing up in front of people is not always the most fun thing in the world. Especially when they don't like you. And especially when they don't want to hear you. And especially when you're trying to figure out their language. I mean, that's not a real exciting experience. Are we listening to the Spirit of God? That's the question. The Bible says this is His sword. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We've gathered here to hear the Word of God. And we're here exhorting you to get the gospel out. So the question is, what is it that hinders you? Paul said one time, he desired to go somewhere, but Satan hindered me. Yeah, because Satan is not interested in us getting the gospel out, right? That's something he doesn't want to happen. But what does God want to happen? He wants us to get the gospel out, right? He wants us to talk. He says we're the light. He says we're the salt. Isn't that what He said? We're the light. We're the salt. We've been entrusted with the gospel. He didn't give it to angels. He gave it to believers. Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Then you and I have been entrusted with something that's very precious. And as Paul said, we're debtors. You know the young lady that led me to the Lord? She died at 21, 22 years old. Hepatitis. Hepatitis outbreak in the church, and most people in the church survived except for her. She died. 21, 22. She's not telling anybody about Christ anymore. What do I want to say? I want to say that the gospel is important enough that we ought to be spreading it around. That we ought to be getting it out. I want to say that we're debtors. I mean, if you've got the answer, then you're a debtor to those that don't have the answer, right? Wasn't that Paul's argument? There's a lot of people in Poland that do not know the answer. There's a lot of religion in Poland. Poland does not need new religion. They got enough religion. I mean, Janice had planned on bringing, we were going to bring some pictures. I mean, there's churches on every corner. Sometimes there's four churches on a corner. Sounds like America. Yeah. But the jails are full and they got a line to get in. They have to wait 2 years to get into jail. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting to go to jail. Who's going to jail? Religious people. I can remember a time right here in this church when young people were excited about getting the gospel out.
I can remember a time when, you know, we didn't go to the movies. We went out door knocking. Where are you guys going? We're going out door knocking. Yeah, we had a great time. We went door knocking. Then we went and got our Cokes or whatever. Yeah. That was exciting. What happened? What happened to our young people? Somebody asked, what about the younger generation? Well, I'm going to ask the same thing. What about the younger generation? Where are the young people? We were talking about the older people, but what about the younger people? And I noticed that there is a lot of elderly people here. I got 3 more years and I get a free coffee. I've come a long way. I want everybody under 25 to stand up, please. If you're under 25, no fakers, please. No fakers. Are you sure? This is everybody? Okay, so I want to talk to you right now. I was 16 years old when I heard the gospel. I preached my first message when I was 16 years old. Came to San Antonio, Texas, and I ran across young people preaching on the street. I said, that's exciting. Where do you go to church? I want to go there. I came here. Came around the corner off Callahan, turned up when they were meeting weight back up there in the ceramic shop. And I heard them singing. I said, that's what I want to do. Hey, these people are real. I met some real Christians. They were excited about, I didn't say I met perfect Christians. I said I met real Christians. They weren't holier than thou. They were real Christians trying to do a real work. They were real young people trying to do something for God. Lots of mistakes. I think we put a few years on Brother Kincaid back then. But we're trying to... You're not under 25. You qualify. You stand up. David, you're not under 25? Man, these people are getting old. Are you listening to young people? It's a real tragedy when we get news so-and-so is fornicating, so-and-so is pregnant. That's sad. That's sad. So-and-so is drinking. Are you listening to me? God save my soul. Did He save yours? Are you saved? I mean, do you have God in your life? I'm not asking, do you have a religion? I'm not even asking, do you come to church? I can see you come to church. Religious people go to church. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you have God in your life? Jesus Christ, do you have Him? Are you just, you here because mommy and daddy pulled you by the ear and you have to come? What are you doing? What are you going to do with your life? I mean, is your life and ambition go to movies? Play on a computer? What are you going to do, young people, with your life? Is this book true? I mean, is there a God? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Did He resurrect? Pilate asked, what would I do with Christ? What am I going to do with your King? That's a pretty good question. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Look, if you don't want a servant, if you don't want... Don't play games. Because there's some people that are really trying to get the gospel out. And your testimony
when it's bad impedes that work. You run your mouth. You do wicked things. It hurts the gospel. And there's people that have given their lives to get the gospel out. Your hypocrisy, your indifference, your playing religion impedes the gospel. Why would you want to do that? So I'm asking you, young people, this evening, get real for Christ. Amen. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. All right, you can sit down. And I did mean to put you on the spot because I really do want you to make a decision for Christ. Now, I haven't forgot about you old timers. That's for you too, yes? I mean, God's given us another day, right? We can start now, right? That's one thing about God. He's very forgiving. And the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That's why the gospel is so exciting to me. Even after all these years. You know how many times, I mean, we preach the gospel every day, every day. You'd think it'd get boring after a while, yeah? Certain aspects of it, when you're bundling up and it's 20 below zero, you're thinking, why am I doing this? And then you remember, because I was lost one day. And I knew what it was like not to have the peace of God. You see, this man says, come over here and help us. Some people need help. I mean, some people really need help. They really do. And I know we've gotten hard because there's so many fakes out there in the world. They're just trying to take advantage. And they're just playing. But there are some real people that need help. And so I think God said, no, you can't go into Asia right now. You're going to read two chapters over that they filled Asia with the Word of God. But God says, no, not right now. You can't go into Asia right now. No, I'm not going to allow you to go to Bithynia. There's a man that needs some help. And he's down in the dungeon in the jail. And I'm going to get you there. Because he needs help. And you're the one. Philip was having great revival. And he says, I need you to go out there in the desert. Because there's a man that needs some help. Now, I'll probably repeat this story since I get to preach three times, but there's a man in Torun, Poland that needed help. Why Torun, of all places? Could you find it on the map? Torun, Poland? Can you even find it on the map? Can some of you find Poland on the map, I wonder? Do you know where Poland is? He was an elderly gentleman. That means he's above 70. He'd been in bondage under the religion called Adventism, Seventh-day Adventists. No meat, no working on the Sabbath day, Friday night to Saturday night, for 30 years. And he's a farmer. Real bondage. One day, he gets a gospel tract. He cannot remember who gave it to him, but somebody in Torun gave him one of our tracts almost a year ago. He gets this gospel tract, and he comes to our very first meeting in Torun. And he comes to our second meeting in Torun. And he comes to our third meeting in Torun. And he invites us over to his home to talk to us. And we come to his home and his wife doesn't want anything to do with us. You can imagine why. 30 years under bondage and his wife didn't want anything to do with it. And he said, I've been taught that I have to keep the commandments in order to go to heaven. And we said, do you? Well, I've been taught that I have to keep the commandments in order to go to heaven. And we said, do you? He said, well, I've been taught that I have to keep the commandments in order to go to heaven. And so we asked again, do you? And he said, frankly, no, I don't. And so we said, so you're not going to heaven. And he gave us this look that said, no, I'm not. And so we talked to him. And he came to our next meeting. He invited us back and we talked to him again. And he said, I've been taught that I have to keep the commandments in order to go to heaven. And we asked, do you? Well, I don't eat meat. And I said, well, I don't eat kapusta, which is sauerkraut. I said, but do you keep the commandments? Yeah, but I've been taught that I have to keep the Sabbath. Yeah, but do you keep the commandments? This went on for about 4 or 5 months, every week. Same argument. I've been taught that I have to keep the commandments. Do you? Of course, we went around and around with the Scriptures. Brother Joe West gave him a verse in Romans in chapter 4. He said, you just read that chapter. And that chapter talks about Abraham being justified by faith. He calls us up and he says, you got to come out. Because he lives just outside of Torum. So we went out to his farm. And he was really happy. I mean, this old guy, he is happy. And he even starts talking to us in Spanish. He's got a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of Italian mixed in, and he's just happy. And he's singing. This guy's singing. He wasn't singing before, but this guy's singing now. And we said, whoa, something's happened here. And he says, I gotta tell you something. Friday night, the wind was blowing in the middle of the night. And I was laying in my bed and I thought, it woke me up. The wind was blowing and it woke me up. And I thought, you know, I've gotta go shut that window because the wind is blowing. And he said, I was laying in that bed and I got to thinking, well, the window isn't open, so how can the wind be blowing? He said, but I knew the wind was blowing. But all the windows were shut, so I don't know how the wind was blowing. So he began thinking about this, but so he's going to go back. He said, I was trying to go back this week. I said, oh, I don't shut the windows because the windows are already shut. He didn't get much more thought about the wind blowing, but the windows were shut. But he started thinking about those verses. Abraham was justified by faith. He says, I got to get out of bed and read those verses again. Because we'd give him a lot of verses. And he got out of his bed, got his Bible, and he read those verses. And it said that Abraham was justified by faith. And he said, if Abraham was justified by faith, then I can be justified by faith. And he started singing. He said, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand now. It's in Christ. And I'm one happy man. And you know what he does every meeting? I'm one happy man! And he goes whistling and happy. Why? Because he got rid of religion. And he found Christ. Called me up just before we left. I'm still happy. I'm so happy. What about you? God made me happy. I want to make you happy because I got some good news to tell you. Preaching in downtown Warsaw, and a young man came up to me and said, what are you doing here? Because he knew I was an American. That's their question, you know. Why would an American come to Poland? I have no idea. He said, no, seriously, what are you doing here? I'm looking for sinners. What? That was shocking to him. What? I'm looking for sinners. They're all around you. I said, I wish I could find one. No, right there, right there. Right. I said, no, they don't think they're sinners. What are you talking about? He said. I said, I've been out on the streets for 10 years now here in Warsaw. I've been looking for sinners. He said, sir, Michal, seven different ways to say your name in Polish, so I never get mixed up sometimes. He said, there's sinners all around you. I said, well, I wish that were the case, but I think you're mistaken. Well, let's find out. So he stopped a young couple coming along. He said, this guy, he says that you think that you're righteous. And they looked at him with disdain. He said, of course we're righteous. I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, that's what I've been telling you. No, he says, that can't be right. Stopped the next couple and he said, excuse us, we're having to, you know, it's kind of strange. People are walking back and forth, they're going to work, and this guy's stopping me. Hey, we got a discussion here. He wants, we want to know, do you think you're righteous enough to go to heaven? Yeah. This can't be true. He says, one more time, I get one more chance. Stopped the young lady. He says, do you think you're righteous? She said, of course. And he's just shaking his head. I said, now you find me a sinner, and I've got some good news to tell him. Pan Andrzej, Mr. Andrzej, that older man I just told you about, he found out that he was a sinner. Now some of you, you've been deceiving yourself. You haven't kept the commandments. You haven't even kept the commandments of your church, let alone the commandments of God. You've been playing religion, but you know that you're a sinner. I know you paint yourself like you're not. You want to think you're righteous. You want to think you're better than somebody else, but you know that you're a sinner. God knows that you're a sinner. You're not fooling Him. Maybe you fool yourself, but not God. Your hope is Jesus Christ. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. And what we preach is Jesus Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We're not here to exalt ourselves. We're here to preach Jesus Christ. This world needs Jesus Christ. You see, if people would follow Christ and believe Christ, we wouldn't need jails. We have jails precisely because religion has failed. So, Brother Robert asked, are you ready to start your gospel mission? That's the question I leave with you this evening. Are you ready to start your mission trip? You can start today. You can just start today. Maybe you're not saved. You can be saved today and then start your mission. Maybe you've been saved a long time and you forgot somehow. It boggles my mind, but maybe that's so. But you can start today. And that's what this is about. Amen?